The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I was just reading a Wall Street Journal about all of the dealers that are being cut. It looks like about 2,500 dealers are going to lose their positions with GM, and perhaps another 600 with Chrysler. And I mean, if the dealer isn't making money, he's going to shut down automatically. He can't do it on his own. So this is some sort of a different deal that's being utilized to determine which dealers are going to survive and which are not. There is no way that cutting the number of dealers is going to allow Chrysler and General Motors to produce better vehicles. That's what they're claiming. Oh, we can't produce better vehicles unless we cut the number of dealings. What does that have to do with anything? And the members of Congress just sit there and absorb this, and it's all a dog and pony show. They're not getting to the real reason why they're cutting dealers. But I will. And the other thing is, I couldn't believe I was reading somebody was saying, oh, what's going to happen to the 40,000 people who are going to be laid off because they're going to be shutting down this 3,000 or so dealers across America? And that's about 15 employees per dealer. Well, of course, most of these dealers, you know, have mechanics. They have people in the parts department. They have secretaries. They have people who work selling cars and work repairing cars. And most dealers, you know, will have 40 or 50 people. How anybody in Congress would think that only 40,000 people are going to lose their jobs because they're shutting down 3,000 dealers between Chrysler and General Motors. These people really don't do mathematics very well. Looks to me like 40 or 50 people will be lost from every dealership. And you're talking about another 100,000 people without jobs. But they can't let the American people know that while all the time they're talking about how we just want to keep people working in America, they're really paying General Motors to actually shift the center of their employment overseas. They have all sorts of factories, even in India, where they're making all sorts of new and expensive cars and designing new cars as they shift the basis of their operation overseas, and we're subsidizing it. And with that as a background, our guest this morning, as always on Friday, Joel Skousen. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Dr. Stan.
You pick up the story and explain to us what's going on.
Well, you know, something really smells in these bankruptcy deals. As you pointed out, there's virtually no economic reason from the standpoint of the manufacturer to cut any dealers whatsoever because, in fact, they aren't subsidizing those dealers in any regard. They paid for their contractual obligations to serve as a dealer. They're being denied those contractual obligations without a proper buyout. As you pointed out, I mean, there's virtually no way that a company like Chrysler or GM can say that it's in our best benefit to have less dealers. It's in their best benefit to have more dealers. It doesn't make any difference to them whether the dealers make money or not, as long as they sell more cars to the thing. But in fact, as you pointed out very correctly, there any dealer who isn't making money is going to be going out of business, and there will be a natural attrition. But dealers, for example, in small towns are being cut, whether they're only Chrysler or only GM dealership in town. And what that does is force the small-town people to go to the big cities to buy cars. And the only reason I can think of is that there's some hidden criteria here of rewarding dealers who have made big contributions to the proper political parties, mostly Democratic, because a large portion of the dealers being cut made contributions to Republicans. I know Americans may think this is ludicrous to think that somebody would be cut for their political affiliation, But in fact, the other dealers that were cut were ones who didn't make any contributions at all. In other words, it's kind of like, well, if you're not going to participate in supporting the Democrats, you know, you're going to get cut, or if you support the opposition, you're going to get cut. You know, there's just no other way to cut this unless there's, I mean, there's too many dealers out there to say that they've got actual direct collusion with certain dealers to increase their dealership. You know, there's many, many thousands of dealers up there. I don't think that's possible, but I think they're penalizing people who have not been active in supporting labor and the Democratic Party, which is very much tied in, you know, with the Obama administration in bringing this bankruptcy together.
And, of course, the Obama administration says, we don't want to run the car company, and yet they're putting pressure on the car companies to do exactly what they want. So they say one thing, and they do another, and we're moving towards a fascist America, and there's no outcry from the American people, and certainly no support from our courts, as at least during the Roosevelt administration, the courts took a strong stand against the efforts of FDR to create a fascist society, but there is no opposition to it in the Roberts Court.
Well, we have a very much a controlled court in Arthur Gonzalez, the bankruptcy judge, which not so coincidentally ruled over the Enron bankruptcy and the WorldCom bankruptcy, which shafted a lot of, unfairly shafted a lot of people who should have got a better deal out of that bankruptcy, including, you know, many of the innocent stockholders. But you know, he absolutely overturned the rule of law when it came to the position of secured creditors in the bankruptcy of General Motors and Chrysler. He upheld the Fiat dealer as well as the Supreme Court rubber stamped that. I mean, that was a deal made in hell, Dr. Stan. You had Fiat putting up zero money, over $9 billion in debt, refusing to reveal to Chrysler what their level of indebtedness is. In essence, here's a European company, member or CEO, member of the Trilateral Commission, who's invited into by Chrysler with no money, and in fact is given several billion dollars in U.S. taxpayer money to consummate the deal.
I mean, it is so incredible. I mean, why would we let Fiat have this without even bidding for it, without putting any money up in them, subsidize them? But nobody's pointing that out.
And so Fiat comes away with a 20% holding of stock for zero money. They're going to be running the show, and nearly 60% of the company goes to, you know, a bailout for the auto unions. It's a trust that was created. That's why this initial deal was made with a company to be named in the future. I mean, this is just ludicrous. And that company turns out to be a health care trust, essentially recouping all of the health care benefits that the unions would have lost in a bankruptcy and giving them in exchange ownership of the company.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen right here at the American.
Good news. The March of Faith Ministries presents Pastor Samuel Santos. Come and hear Pastor Santos, the man who died twice. In a 22-year span, he has been in three airplane accidents. 19 years ago, he fell on the ice and lost his memory totally. Doctors told his wife because of his age, he would never be normal again. This testimony can make a great impact in your life. In the last 15 years, Brother Santos has been used by God in a mighty way in the communist country of Cuba, establishing Bible schools all over that country. In the last 2 years, 2008 and 2009, he graduated 2,638 students. Pastor Santos will be speaking at the Berthoud Community Center, 248 Welch Avenue at 7:30 p.m. June 5th and 6th. The Johnstown Town Hall at 101 Charlotte Avenue, 7:30 p.m. June 12th and 13th. At the Milliken Town Hall, 1101 Broad Street, 7:30 p.m. June 19th and 20th. And in the Town of Meade, 441 3rd Street, June 26th and 27th. For more information, call 303-883-5674.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
RDS Environmental in Lafayette salutes all our area students and graduates for their accomplishments. With prom night and graduation right around the corner, sometimes common sense and safety get pushed aside. Parents, talk to your driving. That message, courtesy of RDS Environmental at 1365 Forest Park Circle in Lafayette. Call 303-444-5253. That's 303-444-5253 for RDS Environmental in Lafayette, where Tammy and her staff are on the air because they care.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And Joel, you keep up the story. Tell us what else you're concerned about today.
Well, you know, this nightmare of the bailouts and bankruptcies just gets more bizarre every week, Dr. Stan. I mean, now we find out that Timothy Geithner is interpreting the TARP bill as giving him a permanent access to $700 billion to churn through and give to friends and loan however he wishes. He had a tete-a-tete with Senator DeMint over the TARP funds, and he was talking about what are you going to do when these banks pay back the TARP funds, and Geithner says, yes, it goes back into the general fund. And he says, but that doesn't reduce our ability to use the $700 billion. It gives us, ability to reapply what's remaining of the $700 billion to other people. And so DeMint says, so your understanding of what we did in Congress is that the Treasury now has $700 billion that it can use permanently, rotating in and out of the capital markets as you see fit? Geithner says, well, I'm not quite sure permanent, but you're right. I mean, this is an example of a piece of legislation, Dr. Stan, that simply didn't cover all the bases. It left major loopholes in it as to what happens. It has nothing in there about how you ratchet down this program. And so Geithner is within his rights to say it's permanent. I mean, he didn't have any restrictions on Congress. He could use it on the Treasury. They could use it any way, give it to, and there's no accountability.
Well, you know, I think the most amazing thing, people have forgotten how they got the TARP legislation through. Henry Paulson went before the American people and said, I want to give this money to Main Street. I want to help the people who are losing their homes. I want to start buying up these endangered foreclosing homes. I want to give this money to the Main Street. I want to help the people. This is not for Wall Street. And then, of course, his friend, of course, Henry Paulson comes from the Council on Foreign Relations. His friend Barney Frank wrote up this legislation, but they forgot to tell Mr. Paulson how to spend the money. So, but they did say he could spend it any way he wanted to. So, they bribed Congress with $150 billion. $150 billion. It went from $700 billion to $850 billion. And, of course, they got the legislation through, and then Henry Paulson changed his mind and gave the money to the major banks, but he forgot. He forgot to tell them they were supposed to invest in America, so they started investing the money in China, in India, in Dubai, and in Spain, and they invested the money, but it wasn't used to create jobs in America. How could Barney Frank have been that stupid as to write the legislation and not specify how $700 billion would be spent, and then Henry Paulson give the money to the banks, but forget to tell them they had to invest it in America. Are these people really that incompetent, or are the American people being hoodwinked again?
Well, you know, it's not a matter of incompetence. This is a pre-written script, and, I mean, everything from the bailout of AIG was meant to direct these funds to the payoff of derivatives, which went right back into the pockets of Citibank and J.P. Morgan and Merrill Lynch and Wells Fargo and everyone else who had some derivatives at risk of this. And that's an ongoing process, by the way. There's the $500 trillion elephant that's still hanging over the speculative economy. The bigger question right now is why some of the 10 largest banks are now so anxious to pay off their TARP bailout funds. it's not simply, in my opinion, a matter of allowing them to go back to the old days of compensating executives with millions of dollars. That can't be done unless they generate huge income streams from derivatives like they did before. Thus, the big banks are anxious to get back into the derivatives and securitization game that provided all those excess profits. And they still want to do it in the shadows, which they can't do under TARP. Now, in reality, it's not that these 10 banks fear the Treasury and the control of the Treasury. I mean, they control the Treasury. They control, they own the Fed, these largest banks. Even though the ownership is listed secret, we know that, you know, it's owned by other banks. And it has to be the same banks that are being given favoritism in this, I mean, just by deduction. But Congress is under a lot of pressure from the public to audit the Fed and bring monetary control back under the authority, and that's what the banks fear, is that the pressure, even though they control most people in Congress, like Barney Frank, you know, who's a whore if there ever was one, in the very literal sense, as well as the political and financial sense, bring monetary back under control. I mean, look at the bill by Ron Paul. It's got, you know, I kept changing the World Affairs brief for today because the numbers started out at 190, and then they were 197, and 25, and 212. Now they're above 222. It takes 218 to be a majority, so he's got a majority already, unless the powers that be lean on some of these co-sponsors and get them to back out from a vote. But so Ron Paul's on a move here, and there's significant pressure from the public to audit the Fed. Now, I don't have any illusions that they're not going about them getting a real honest audit. You know, the bill calls for the Comptroller General of the United States to audit the private Federal Reserve. They don't have to get back to Congress till 2010, however. It's a major flaw in Paul's proposal. He had no choice. Of course, the audit will be a controlled and politicized, like all federal investigations. You know, he had to, every proposal has to give plenty of time. Who knows what's going to happen by the end of 2010? You know, we need answers now. And unfortunately, this is the best that Ron Paul could get. I think his next step will, of course, to be, you know, to challenge the results if they were fraudulent. It will certainly give Ron Paul more traction in Congress because, you know, he's been working this Fed angle ever since he got to Congress. You and I remember that as young men when Ron Paul was, he's always been on the banking committee, he's been after the Federal Reserve, and he's got nowhere with it until now. And so he's going to be looking to, you know, from Congress to be taking the lead in this. And anyway, it's I think we're dealing with a very concerted conspiracy to hide the truth. I don't think we're going to get to the truth any more than we did in any of the assassination investigations or the 9/11 investigation. But at least people like Ron Paul are doing their very best, and we're going to have more evidence against those that sabotage this investigation, just like we did in 9/11.
And I think from really looking at it objectively, what we're doing is educating the American people so they begin to understand we have a privately owned central bank that owns the government. I mean, our congressmen really can't even find out what the Fed is doing with their money. They are an independent organization above regulation, and they buy and sell congressmen on a regular basis. But at least they've been forced to hire a public relations firm. The Fed is doing everything they can to try to make people think they're doing a great job. But I hope that the American people are beginning to understand what Andrew Jackson talked about, you know, back in 1837 in his final address when he talked about the danger of these people who were intent upon a war on the American people and taking away their homes and their property. And the same thing is going on today here in 2009 that was going on in 1837. Everybody needs to go back and read Andrew Jackson. I wish they taught it in schools, but, of course, they control the schools as well.
Well, returning to the bankers' motives, by getting out from under TARP, they can effectively go back to their Ponzi schemes of old and run up new profits during the coming recovery, and do so in relative secrecy if they get out from under TARP. The speculative world has been watching as the U.S. Treasury diverted billions into the hands of AIG and other insider investment banks like Citigroup and J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, who are guaranteeing credit default swap derivatives. You know, these are the insurance policies against default of everything from GM to securitized packages of subprime loans. There's still a huge market in this area, as hundreds of outsider hedge funds and other financial institutions are still looking to switch their unsecured and at-risk CDS derivatives to these favored 10 banks who they know have the insider connections to make good on those. And that's what I believe is driving this move, is that the favored 10 banks are going to be a magnet for this at-risk money and derivatives and everything else to get them under the auspices of banks who can save them. But there are still two of the largest banks that can't get out from TARP control, Bank of America and Citigroup, who received some $90 billion in bailout funds from the Treasury together. They're weak in financial condition. They cannot repay. Citibank, previously the largest bank in the world, is so deep in the derivatives meltdown that it's still technically insolvent despite the bailout. And Bank of America is still underwater after absorbing the bankrupt Countrywide Financial Mortgage Unit and repudiating much of its debt in the process, which stiffed competitors of $68 billion, but it turned a potential pig of a deal into something very sweet. They got the best assets and repudiated the debt. Now, the powers that be apparently called upon Bank of America then to give back some of their good deals in buying the defunct insider stock brokerage Merrill Lynch. And this is the latest scandal now that's going before Congress right now. It appears as if BOA executives refused to go through with the deal, finding out that the company was nearly worthless and the price was way too high given the losses that they had. Leaks from BOA claim the government forced the deal upon them.
And Ken Lewis went before the House committee and simply lied and just said, oh, they didn't pressure me at all. And yet, a month ago, he testified they did pressure him. They threatened him and told him they would he would be replaced and the whole board of Bank of America would be replaced unless he bought Merrill Lynch and went ahead with the deal. And now, obviously, frightened for his life, frightened for something, he went before Congress and frankly perjured himself. And a lot of the congressmen say, yeah, we don't believe you. I mean, obviously we're under pressure. But nobody has said, a month ago you gave exactly the opposite testimony.
That's right.
He ought to be tried for perjury. You can't say one thing one day and say another thing another.
Well,
when you're under oath, unless the whole thing is a scam, a dog and pony show to entertain the sheeple out here, while, of course, the powers that be work behind the scenes to consolidate the control.
So the larger questions that remain are, what kind of leverage did the government have on BOA that allowed them to twist its arm on the Merrill Lynch deal beyond threatening Lewis's job? And also, what kind of special relationship did Bernanke and Paulson have with Merrill Lynch that made it so important to illegally pressure BOA to purchase them at a loss? You know, these kinds of high-level management types are people who've long played ball with the powers that be in order to rise to the top of financial institutions that are given special advantages in the markets. As I've talked about before, after the stock market closes, certain firms are still allowed to trade. You know, that's an insider advantage. Every insider bank has these kinds of special relationships with government. Insider deals, special treatment, efforts to get regulators to look the other way on accounting issues that would make them vulnerable to this kind of blackmail. And large brokerage houses like Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch are allowed to participate in government-sponsored option movements like as part of the plunge protection team efforts to manipulate the markets. And above all, the largest insider banks and brokerage houses were the ones allowed to develop, sell, and profit from the huge markets created by the securitization of subprime mortgages and derivatives. I mean, this is a closed shop, Dr. Stan, and these people all know that this market, in this Ponzi scheme market, didn't just come about by accident. This was designed and crafted to make billions and billions of dollars for these major insiders, and they reaped those profits. They caused the collapse of the American economy, and they're the ones being bailed out on the way back up again.
And of course, you know, they pay off the congressman. I'll never forget when Thomas Foley, it was brought out that he was allowed to get into a lot of these IPOs, these offering of stocks, you know, before they went public. And he invested in, you know, I think 30 of them, and 29 of them made tremendous profits, and he'd made $100,000. He was the Speaker of the House. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission today. Thomas Foley was simply paid off. The information was there, but of course nothing was said. Remember Hillary Clinton and the commodity deals. You know, she made $100,000 in a matter of a few weeks playing the commodity market. And nothing is ever done. You reward your friends, you punish your enemies, maybe even kill them.
Years ago when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running a budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Ferris Survival is your one-stop shop for all your family preparedness needs. Ferris Survival carries high-quality, long-term, storable food from Mountain House with a 25-year shelf life. Come by and pick up some high-quality, organic bulk grains like wheat, quinoa, corn, and barley. Filter your drinking water through the world-famous British Birkfeld water filtration system and reduce or remove bacteria, chlorine, parasites, sediment, and rust for the best-tasting water for pennies a day. Pick up a 3-day kit from Survivor Industries for the car. Ferris Survival also carries a huge selection of hard-to-find books from Paladin Press and Desert Publications. Ferris Survival is located at 3366 South Broadway, 3 blocks north of Hamden in Inglewood. Call Ferris Survival at 1-866-781-0343 or on the web, www.fserve.com. Prepare your family. Visit Ferris Survival today.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Time when I appreciate if you would tell our listeners how they could subscribe to the World Affairs Brief.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The best way to get involved with the brief is to start with a sample copy, which they can get simply by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's worldaffairsbrief.com. And if they go to the website, it tells them how to do that right on the front page with the summary of the brief. Today's brief will be coming out after this interview. It takes me a couple hours to get it posted to the web. But if people want a sample copy, they can either get the one that's currently up there or request the one that we're talking about today. In any case, you know, Europe and the euro are also on shaky ground, as well as the U.S. you know, the world's reserve currency is both loved and loathed by different people, depending on what their point of view is. And many people like to bash the U.S. dollar, but they have to realize in our zeal to, you know, talk about the fall of the U.S. dollar, that in order for the dollar to die, it has to die relative to other fiat currencies. And some of those others are looking pretty sick, too. In fact, they're all looking fairly poorly, except for the Chinese yuan renminbi and a few other Asian currencies, which are not having the same depth of depression that we are here. Of course, there's also another currency out there in the world, and that's gold. It's the one and only stateless currency. It's not subject to the whims of the printing press. You can't just print gold. In short, the dollar's not the only basket out there for people to choose from. Now, let's look at the euro. This is a troubled currency, and it is being kept up strong, relatively strong, to the dollar. In other words, the dollar keeps falling slightly, but the reason that is mostly because of Germany. Germany is holding the line and refusing to do bailouts like the West is. In fact, Angela Merkel has been taking a fairly strong position, hostile to the U.S. position. You know, I'm really quite surprised at this, given the relationship between the globalist and Angela Merkel. You know, those who admire Merkel do so because Germany has appeared to go its own way in this turmoil. Other countries, of course, have stimulated, like the U.S., and relaxed their monetary controls. Germany has said no to this. Anything that smacks of lax fiscal policy, Merkel is against. In a speech last week, Merkel even went out of her way to slam the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England. And, you know, England's really in shambles. The pound has fallen against the dollar, which means they're inflating that even more than we're inflating the dollar. And she said, "I view with great skepticism the powers of the Fed and how within Europe the Bank of England has carved out its own line of bailouts." You know, within the way that diplomacy runs in the world, these are amazingly blunt words. But in essence, she said the stimulators are a bunch of out-of-control fools. Well, you know, we can admire Germany's fiscal backbone. This comes from, you know, goes way back to Germany's willingness after World War II to eschew the politics of, you know, printing money and become very much hard money asset type of people. That's the cultural background that stems from the hyperinflation of the Weimar Republic in the 1920s, which, by the way, came about because of Wall Street advisors that came over to Germany and explained to them how they could get out of their debt situation by printing money. But in any case, when she takes a hard line on this, she's going against the easy money inflationists, and in doing so, she's got some opposition because Germany is an export economy, and exports are being hit fairly hard now as the euro is more expensive to buy into that economy, and therefore, you know, American products are cheaper as the dollar goes down. But there's both sides to that. You know, the country itself is better off when you don't have high inflation and you have more stability. And just like we would be better off if we would allow the speculative portion of our economy to collapse, it doesn't matter if these multi-trillionaires who have not been investing in the American economy, they've been churning the money in these speculative endeavors. I don't care if they lose their money. They were not investing in the real economy anyway. There was probably only a 20% overlap between the huge speculative economy and the real economy. And we needed to come down at least 20 or 30% in our economic spending because it was based upon consumer debt. And when we get back to reality, when businesses get back to the real level of what should be correct consumer spending, then the better this economy will be, and the more realistic it will be, the more realistic home building will be, and the more realistic, you know, the supply industry for home building will be. All of that needs to come down to a stable market of slow growth, and that's what this recession is meant to do. That's what the free market does, is pop bubbles. And we need to accept that and learn to live within that pop bubble. And But that's not what our government is attempting to do. They're attempting to recreate and reinflate a bubble, and it takes increasingly large amounts of money each time they try to do it. Well, back in Europe, there's been a rise of the far right, as there is whenever, you know, the left has their way and becomes unpopular. In the recent European elections for the European Parliament, conservatives were going to victory in most areas, and the socialists were losing. That doesn't mean the socialists were out, but it means there's a sea change occurring there, and many outright nationalist party, even some of them that are considered racist, the British National Party, which only allows white people and non-immigrants to join, won its first seat in the British Parliament. And while I have no illusions that, real legitimate nationalism is going to take over a majority, socialism always appeals to the masses, nevertheless, it has the left worried. Prime Minister Gordon Brown is on the ropes. He's had, five ministers in his cabinet resign over a variety of improprieties and spending and expense account scandals, etc. He's been asked to resign. He's been asked to call new elections. The Labour Party is in disarray. Now, once again, I hold no illusions that the Conservative Party, which is also controlled just like our Democrats and Republicans control, will do much different. But certainly I think the days of the Labour Party are numbered within Britain. Spain and France have their own problems. The Spanish real estate market is in free fall. The Irish economy is looking more like the economy of Iceland. The joke of the day in Ireland is, what's the difference between Ireland and Iceland? The letter C is the answer. In other words, they're both bankrupt states. Now, half of Europe is still committed to fiscal stimulus and economic coordination. That's a code word for New World Order ways of coordinating the economy and regulating it internationally, which isn't going to go anywhere, by the way. Not until we have war, in my opinion. Whereas the other half has swung to the right.
Hang on, we'll be back in just a minute with Joel Skousen here for the final segment.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, our guest Joel Skousen of the World Affairs Brief. And Joel, we've got 4 or 5 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Oh, Dr. Stan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, the next topic is the sanctions about North Korea. Despite all the hype about getting tough with North Korea, the additional sanctions approved by the U.N. Security Council are relatively harmless to this bad boy of international politics. My first clue was that Russia and China signed on to the deal, which they wouldn't have done had the sanctions had any teeth to them. Restricting North Korea's access to financial instruments is not really possible, since it has its own banking system within the Chinese system. There are dozens of ways they can launder money through China. Limiting North Korea to only the import of small arms is also meaningless. Who's going to know what passes between China and Russia and North Korea on their borders? Anyone who thinks that because Russia and China signed on to this that they're going to help enforce it, I believe, is kidding themselves. Even a cursory glance at the language of the UN statement shows there's no firm mandate for enforcement on the special issue of interdicting shipping of North Korea. The text calls for UN members to play a more active role. You know, what does that mean? In inspecting all cargo entering and leaving North Korea, if there's a reasonable suspicion it contains banned nuclear missile technology. But they don't actually have any ability to stop them on the high seas unless North Korea gives their permission. And it says, in case North Korea doesn't give their permission, they have to request that North Korea go to a nearby port, which North Korea certainly, you know, doesn't have to do, and there's no provisions to force them to do that either. So the whole sanctions business is a sham, and that's why North Korea continues to thumb its nose at the U.S. and its five other partners in the six-party talks. Worse, North Korea has got two female journalists as hostages, which have been sentenced to 12 years of hard labor in North Korea's notorious prison camp system. These two American journalists of Oriental descent were snatched on the frozen ice of the Yalu River, the Chinese-North Korean border, conveniently where it was impossible to prove who was on what side of the imaginary line. It appears that North Korea took the two women and rushed them to trial in order to use them as bargaining tools to reduce any remaining sanctions that are inconvenience to them. And that's the way that North Korea operates. Right now, the U.S., according to Donald Kirk, is in secret negotiations with North Korea about the women's condition. They're asking for their release, and of course North Korea is going to say, well, you know, if you give us some secret relief from these sanctions, we'll release them. And that's the way that they operate. They pick up hostages, and they know that we'll always give in, and we'll go before the world and say, well, we had to give in to this, and North Korea's promised now to be a good boy, and they always get rid of the sanctions that way. Now, let's make no mistake, U.S. permissiveness with North Korea will someday have horrific consequences for America. Asia Times published an article on North Korea's plan to maximize the use of its few nuclear-armed missiles to cause the maximum fallout within the U.S. and Japan by targeting nuclear plants. Now, you see, when you throw and launch a nuclear warhead at a city and burst it above the ground, there's relatively low amounts of fallout. But when you hit a nuclear plant, it's got all kinds of radioactive isotopes that last for 20 and 30 years. It doesn't go away in 2 weeks like normal fallout does from a nuclear weapon. So they're targeting, according to defectors, nuclear power plants in Japan, in the west coast of the United States, in South Korea, essentially planning on trying to make portions of our country uninhabitable. And in fact, it doesn't even take a nuclear weapon on a missile to do that kind of damage. You can explode a nuclear power plant with conventional explosives and have the same long-term effect as you did in Chernobyl. So, you know, this is not a country that we need to be permissive with, but we are being that, and Iran is taking notice. President Gates, Defense Secretary Gates, has some very tough rhetoric about Iran, North Korea. He says, we will not stand idly by as North Korea builds the capacity to wreak destruction on any target around us. But he insisted that the next step would be political, not military. And clearly, no military response is contemplated for now against North Korea. In fact, as Debka pointed out, as I pointed out in my World Affairs brief, the U.S. has even given public assurances numerous times that they will never invade North Korea, nor will they even ever attempt to get regime change. Now, have we ever promised Iran that? Did we promise Iraq that? No way.
But I think, Joan, nothing is appears to be. You go back to the Korean War, when our boys were fighting and dying there, why, they wouldn't let General MacArthur bomb the major supply depots of the North Koreans and Chinese in North Korea. They wouldn't allow them to hit the electric generating plants. It was a make-believe war. We never tried to defeat North Korea during the Korean War. And, of course, it's been the same thing ever since then. And basically, we've allowed them to print our $100 bills, you know, and to counterfeit our money and never taken any action against them. We've allowed this whole thing to happen. It's almost as if there's a long-range plan, and now, of course, we look and we say, oh, what can we do? Or we're just sort of helpless. We're not helpless at all. They've never tried to put down that brutal regime.
That's right. And even, you know, the U.S. has always claimed the right, when there's a threat to U.S. or South Korean security, to interdict directly, preemptively, like they did in Iraq. So what's stopping the United States from interdicting shipping and stopping them from shipping their missiles? Those are clearly visible on the decks of ships. They transfer them around the world, but the U.S. does nothing. They say, whenever they want to be paralyzed, they say, well, we will abide by what the U.N. does. Whenever they want to act unilaterally, they just thumb their nose at the U.N. So there has to be, you know, some theory that explains why they continue to let North Korea off the hook, and why they continue to attack Iran. And I believe it is because that North Korea is being reserved as a trigger event for World War III. It's one of the bad boys that's going to start this nuclear war and justify Russian and China attacking the U.S. Meanwhile, there's a crucial election in Iran going on today. For the first time, Iranian gadfly and President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has a serious competitor in the race for president, and we'll see about that next week.
Okay, God bless. Thanks so much, Joel. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Our friends at the Wild Bird Center take this special time to remind listeners that our children and young adults are our future. That's why we need to educate them on the dangers of drug abuse, so take a moment to let them know you care. That's from your friends at the Wild Bird Center, where Candace Stewart and her staff are always working to make our area a safer place to live for our youth. For the highest quality products and friendly service, committed to education and conservation, call today 303-758-7575. That's the Wild Bird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver. Mention you heard this community announcement. They wish you a happy Memorial Day.
Hi, this is Phil with WolfAutoGroup.com. We sell new, used trucks, cars, ATVs. We love to barter, horse trade. You know, your valuable things for ours. We also have many willing lenders to finance any difference left over to make your payoff on your automobile. Try us. We will trade for your valuable goods. WolfAutoGroup.com. Local number 303-931-9096. Talk to Mr. Wolf personally for the best location to serve you. Thank you.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, I hope you enjoy our Friday morning programs with Joel Skousen and giving you a different slant on what's going on. Joel does, I think, a tremendous job. Well, now this is the time I want to suggest that if you have not yet heard my talk on the financial Armageddon and got the syllabus that goes with it, that you get that. Why is it important? Why, very simply, because it points out that this whole current economic collapse is contrived. And, of course, if you get the financial Armageddon syllabus, you'll read Andrew Jackson's, President Jackson's 1837 farewell address, where he talks about what was going on back in 1837 as the banks were attacking the American people and punishing them for daring not to go along with their agenda. It's the same battle today. The same forces are still there, the same spiritual forces energizing the banking situation then that energized it today. And you must understand that there are families that have been controlling our banking industry for over 100 years and successive generations. Why? In fact, the banks, you know, J.P. Morgan Chase. Where did that come from? J.P. Morgan. Who was J.P. Morgan? He was the dominant force in American banking 100 years ago. He was deeply involved in the occult, and those same occult forces are working today, utilizing this collapse to bring about the New World Order, the New World Financial System, the New World Currency, because America's dollar is going to be destroyed, and the New World Religion, because they hate Christianity. So the Financial Armageddon talk DVD, the Financial Armageddon syllabus, you get the two of them together at a decreased price, but it'll give you information you won't get elsewhere. It contains all of my newsletters going into the background of what's going on financially. You need to have this information to show you how they created this whole scam that has destroyed the lives of so many Americans. We still have our talk, Financial Tsunami. We gave it 3 or 4 years ago, anticipating what's going to happen. The syllabus goes with that is important. We do hope you want to get my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, you need to give you the spiritual forces behind the secret societies that have existed for thousands of years. And they exist in their forms today. You don't necessarily hear that 11 of Barack Obama's key advisors come from the Trilateral Commission that was formed in 1973 to take over control of our government. And between 1976 and 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States came from the membership roles of that organization. Six of the eight presidents of the World Bank, eight of the 10 World Trade Organization representatives that have been doing away with our tariffs so we could transfer our manufacturing overseas, three of the four chairmen of the Federal Reserve System prior to Ben Bernanke, seven of the secretaries of the Treasury, nine of the secretaries of defense during that period, 76 to 2008, came from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission with never more than 80, 85 American members. How could they possibly do that? Why, they control the media, they control the banking system, a small clique of people who have an occult foundation control America today. Look at their logo, three arrows, and if you look carefully, you'll see the three sixes on the inside there, but there's no question at all. They joined together, the three arrows, by an upside-down broken cross, the emblem of those who hate our Lord. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. RadioLiberty.com is the website. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, and so until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.